Pastor Michael E. Ton. I'm the senior pastor of the Bethlehem Baptist Church in Paul's Valley, Oklahoma. We're at 311 North Dunbar, 55 miles south of Oklahoma City. We want to welcome you to today's program. Today you're going to be listening to a word either from myself, my lovely wife Kimberly E. Ton, or associate minister at Bethlehem, or a teacher. But before we get into Word today, we just want to welcome those who are listening throughout our MySpace page at www.myspace.com/Pastor Michael E. Ton. That's E-A-T-O-N. Maybe listening through our church website at www.heargodsword@bethlehem.com or a podcast of the same name, Hear God's Word at Bethlehem, or through our Women of Divine Faith or other ministries all on the internet. Now, let's get into the Word. We'll
move Lord, thank you, Father, how you've enabled us to testify tonight, Father, and now it's time for us to turn to your Word. We pray, Father, that you will speak now, for your people need to hear from you, Father. Speak now, for your servants are listening. Father, enable us to be doers of the word and not just hearers. In Jesus' name, amen. And praise the Lord. Amen. And praise the Lord. Let's give God another hand clap of praise up in here. Amen. Amen. Giving honor to God, Jesus Christ, the Holy Spirit. Giving honor to the angel of this house, Reverend Johnson, and his lovely wife, as they stand instead for the Lord here at this house at this time. We want to give another shout out to Reverend Johnson for being the matriarch of the last seven words on the cross. God placed it upon his heart to do this, and this is the first time that we have done this side of the mountain of Chickasaw District, and we just want to give him a hand clap of praise for obeying the voice of God. Amen? Amen. Bethlehem! Oh, that sounds good. Let's do that again. Bethlehem! We want to thank you for coming down the street to have service today. Amen. Amen. We thank our deacons and our choir and all of our members who've come to be a part of this service tonight. Amen. Amen. Monday night, Reverend Williams spoke about forgiveness. The first words from the cross. Tuesday night, Reverend Thomas talked about salvation. And tonight, I'm listed to speak about affliction. Amen. In your Bibles, please turn to John chapter 19. When you have it, please stand in reverence to the Word of God. Stand also symbolically saying that I will stand on the Word of God. Amen. Say to your neighbor, neighbor, well, neighbor, I'm going to stand on this Word. Amen, and praise the Lord. John 19:25, it is in your programs as well. 25 through 26 is listed. It reads as following. Near the cross of Jesus stood his mother. And we're going to spend a considerable amount of time tonight and a message entitled, Keep Standing. Keep Standing. But it says, near the cross of Jesus stood his mother's sister, Mary, the wife of Cleopas, and Mary Magdalene. When Jesus saw his mother there, the disciples whom he loved standing nearby, he said to his mother, "Dear woman, here is your son," and to the disciple, "Here is your mother." And from that time on, this disciple took her into his home. You may be seated in the household of the Lord. Tonight I will share a message entitled "Keep Standing." And we're going to talk on around 3 points as the Holy Spirit gives us utterance tonight. We're going to talk about keep standing when you are shocked and amazed. Keep standing when you are stunned and appalled. Keep standing when you're supplied abundantly. Again, tonight we want to talk about keep standing. In John chapter 19, the text is concerned about a title that's placed over the head of Jesus. Jesus, the King of the Jews, and Pharisees and Sadducees and those responsible for Jesus dying or being crucified didn't like it. Later on in the text, you see the soldiers are divvying out Jesus' clothes and garments as they would any other person that would be crucified. And then we run across something that captured my imagination. It said, near the cross of Jesus stood his mother. She was standing there at the cross of Jesus, and I think we run by that too fast, because can you imagine how stunned and appalled she must have been? She was standing there after they had beat him, after they had mocked him, after they had scorned him, after they put a crown of thorns upon his head, after they put that cross on his back and led him to the streets of Jerusalem, after she saw him stumbling and having to get help, after, oh, they took him to that hill called Golgotha, after, oh, they had nailed him to the cross, after he was put up between two thieves. Yeah. Oh, after it all, it says simply, near the cross of Jesus stood his mother. Uh-huh. Oh, like I said, I can only imagine that she was stunned and appalled at what was going on. Her baby boy, oh, and her not understanding what was going on. And in my sanctified imagination, I was taken back to a time where I stood around a gravestone, and me and along with the other members of the Concord Missionary Baptist Church there in Dallas, Texas, after the death of E.K. Bailey, we stood around that graveside. We were stunned and appalled by the circumstance, because after all, we were praying for him and we believed that God would heal his body. After all, there were many preachers that were coming by, Prophet Lyon, saying that God would touch his body and make him whole again. But yet, we stood there just in shock. And this is what we have: a mother, oh, at that point in time, oh, standing at the cross. I couldn't help but think, what fortitude attitude she must have had. Oh, because most mothers probably wouldn't be standing at this time. Most mothers couldn't take looking on their son's body and seeing his body having been marred to the point where the image of man was gone, marred. But yet she was still standing. Oh, we sing this song at the cross where I first saw the light and the burdens of my heart rolled away. But we look and sing that song looking back at the cross. But I can guarantee you that Mary, when she saw no light, when she stood, her burdens wasn't rolled away. She stood there looking at her baby boy. Still able to stand. Hello, somebody, God has sent me here today to encourage you that regardless of the circumstances that you're going through, regardless of how your image has been marred, regardless of what you've lost, regardless of the crosses and the crucifixions that you've gone through up to this point in time, God sent me here all the way from Paul's Valley, Oklahoma, to remind you to keep standing. Oh, in Jesus' name, to keep standing. I know she shouldn't be standing at this point in time, because I'm taken aback in my sanctified imagination when she was visited by the angel. Over there in Luke chapter 1, verse 28 through 38, I'm reminded of how the angel had approached her and called her. The angel went to her and says, "Greetings, you who are highly favored. The Lord is with you." I'm reminded of that visit, and Mary was greatly troubled in his words and wondered. And of this kind of greeting, she wondered what this might be, for the angel of the Lord had said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary. You have found favor with God. You will be with child and give birth to a son, and you will give him the name Jesus, and he will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High. The Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever. His kingdom will never end." But yet, coming back to this point in time, there is no kingdom. There is no reigning. And she stood there. I can guarantee you she didn't feel blessed and highly favored. She was standing there. She had moved from that point where she was shocked and amazed and couldn't figure out how God was going to do it. But the angel posed the question to her in verse 37. "For nothing is impossible with God." And she said, "I am the Lord's servant." Mary answered, "May it be to me as you said. May it be to me as you said." And she's standing here remembering the words, remembering, reflecting back to when she thought that her son would reign over all the nation, that she thought that her son would reign over Rome and reign over all the nation. But yet she is at this place in time where she cannot understand God's plan. She could not understand God's promises. She's at this place in time of utter discouragement, of utter depression, of utter... But yet she's still standing. Hello, somebody. Say to your neighbor, "Neighbor, oh neighbor, I'm still standing." And I don't even know why. I don't know how. But I'm still standing. God wants somebody else here today to know that, even though, oh, God has made some promises in your life, he promised you, and you felt like he was promising you a happy marriage, but you're in divorce court. You felt like he was promising you a business that would make money, but now you're in bankruptcy. Oh, you felt like God was promising you a great church that would break out in revival, but now, oh, you're lucky to see three or four people on a Sunday morning. Oh, you heard the vision of God, but yet the circumstances are not lining up to what the vision of God has told you. But yet God says for you tonight to stand. Say to your neighbor, neighbor, you better stand in Jesus' name. You better stand, because she stood stunned and appalled by the circumstance, in the same way that Habakkuk stood, stunned and appalled by the circumstance. Habakkuk had to have a little talk with God. Habakkuk wrote a whole book about him talking with God, and he was questioning God in the circumstance, in the tribulation, in the trial, and he said, surely God, you're not going to use the enemies of God to come and attack and conquer your people. Surely, God, this can't be so. Somebody here tonight is in the house wrestling with God and saying, God, surely this can't be so. Surely I'm not going to the second divorce. Surely I'm not going to the second bankruptcy. Surely I'm not going to the second sickness. Surely I'm not going to a second time of singleness. Surely I'm not going to loneliness. Surely I'm not going to another heartache and pain. Surely I'm not losing another child to the devil. Surely, and you're wrestling with God, but yet you're still standing. Say to your neighbor, neighbor, you better still stand in Jesus' name. So much so, after Habakkuk got finished wrestling with God, he came up with this conclusion in Habakkuk 3:17, though the fig trees does not bud, and there be no grapes on the vine, though the olive crops fail, and the field produce no food, though there be no sheep in the pen, and no cattle in the stalls. He came up after struggling with God, after being stunned and appalled. He came up and in verse 18, he said, but yet will I rejoice. He said, yet I'm going to say hallelujah anyhow. Devil, that's not past the time. That's Habakkuk. That's not past the time. That's Job. After he had lost it all, Job was a righteous man. Oh, he was so righteous and a rich man. But yet God tested him and took everything. Oh, Job, know what it's like to be in Dallas and having three major tornadoes hit at the same time. Feels hit with his kids, with his money. He lost everything. He lost it all at the same time. But his words comes back to haunt us today. Some of us who have not lost nearly as much as he did, but he said, nude I came into this world, and nude I shall return. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. Hear me now. Devil. Some of you, you work in Dallas. us. There's been some tornadoes that have hit all at the same time, all major, and it seemed like you were about to lose it all. It seemed like, oh, you were about ready to throw in the towel. It seemed like, oh, that you couldn't make it, but yet after it all, you're still standing in Jesus' name. You're still standing. The same way that Habakkuk was still standing. Even though she was standing apart, she kept standing. And she kept looking to Jesus. Oh, let me say that I said something. Some of you missed it. She was still standing, and she kept looking to Jesus, even though his image was marred, even though he was bloody, even though it seemed like he was helpless up there on the cross, she was still standing and she was still looking to Jesus. And because she was still standing and looking to Jesus, Jesus had these final words to say, or the third words to say from the cross. What did Jesus say from the cross? Jesus saw his mother there and the disciple whom he loved standing nearby, and he said to his mother, "Dear woman, here is your son." And to the disciple he said, "Here is your mother." And it says, from that time on, his disciples took him into his own house. She was supplied abundantly because she kept looking to Jesus. You see, Jesus up there on that cross was fulfilling his family duty. Jesus, most of us don't realize that he was the oldest boy. And in this text, because Joseph is not mentioned, we think that Joseph has already died and gone on to heaven. And one of the worst things you could be in culture and society was that you would be a widow, and a widow indeed. But Jesus was the oldest boy. Jesus had four other stepbrothers. I call them stepbrothers because they had the same mother but different fathers. Hello, somebody. The same mothers but different fathers. So he was the eldest. Oh, and not only that, Jesus had some stepsisters, the Bible tells us. Oh, in Matthew, I believe, 13, where, oh, it tells us when he went back and he tried to do miracles back there in Nazareth, they posed the question, wait a minute, ain't this Mary's son? Ain't this, ain't this, Joseph and Simon and Judas? Ain't that Jesus' brothers? And doesn't he have even more sisters? So we see that he was a part of a family, a kind of a big family, and he was the eldest. And like most of us who are the oldest, the family responsibility falls to us to provide for our parents after the loss of a mate. And it fell to his responsibility to take care of his mother. You would have thought he would have told James. We know James because James wrote the book of James. You would have thought he would have told James to take care of his mother. But he did something out of season. He did something different. He allowed his mother to go to the man that is described, the disciple whom Jesus loved, the man that would lay on his head, the man that was close. As Deacon Jones says, that God does doesn't have any favorites, but he does have intimates. And this was a intimate. And he didn't want just anybody to take care of his mother. He wanted somebody who knew him. He wanted somebody who knew him as Jesus, as God, as Lord. Even his mother didn't know him better than he knew him. Oh, and she looked down from the cross and gave him another son to take his place and to provide for her every need. Oh, somebody here, you're concerned about how you're going to make it. You're concerned about your provisions. But Jesus is still speaking down from the cross today, and he's going to send you somebody whom he loves, somebody that's an intimate to see after you and to take care of your every need. Oh, somebody ought to praise God for his provision, because God has just said he's about to send one of his intimates to come and see about you, to see about your family, to see about your bills, to see about your health, to see, ask about your church here in Guilford. Oh, Jesus is still giving commands, even when it looks like he's dead. He's still providing. Oh, I think I said something. Even when it looks like he's dead, you don't think God is listening to you. You don't think he's noticing what's going on in your life right now. You think he's quiet. You think he can't speak. But tonight, he is speaking from the cross, and he's saying that I'm going to be Jehovah Jireh, our God who provides for our every need. Somebody ought to give God a hand clap of praise up in here, up in here. Somebody ought to glorify God right now. Thank you, Lord, that I can still look to you when I don't even understand. Thank you, Lord, that I can still stand when I don't understand. Thank you, Lord, that you will provide my every need in Jesus' name. Somebody else in here ought to give God a hand clap of praise up in here, up in here. Somebody ought to glorify God right now and say, hallelujah! Hallelujah! There's somebody else ought to say, hallelujah, anyhow! In Jesus' name. Say it again, hallelujah! Anyhow! In Jesus' name. Because I know Jesus is about to come see about me, because David is still testifying that the Lord is my shepherd and that I shall not want. Habakkuk is still testifying here today when he said, yet I will rejoice in the God of my salvation, who is my strength. Oh, I want to thank you that Philippians is still saying that in my God will meet all of my needs. I'm going to make it personal. All of my needs according to his glorious riches in Jesus Christ. To our God and Father be the glory forever and ever. Amen. Forever and ever. Amen. God is going to see about me. God is going to provide for my every need forever and ever. Amen. And that word amen means so be it. And that's why we amen the preacher, because when we hear a word from the Lord and our spirit believes what the word is saying, we get up and say amen. And God has said tonight through his word that he's going to provide for your every need according to his riches in Christ Jesus. That same Jesus that was dying on the cross, that same Jesus was giving commands from the cross for provision, is the same Jesus who died. I said he died. That same Jesus died. But I'm so glad that he didn't stay dead. For the Bible says that he got up on the third day with all power in his hands. I said, he got up on the third day with all power in his hands. And that's why we celebrate, Easter or Resurrection Sunday, because our God had power over life and death. Our God, who showed Mary from the very beginning that God was able to do the impossible, did the impossible. Nobody else that I know has died and raised themselves. We learned last Sunday about Lazarus, who died, and he was buried for 4 days. But it took Jesus to say, Lazarus, come forth, for him to come out. It took another voice. Jesus had to be his own voice and say, yes. He had to speak to himself in that grave. He had to speak to himself as the imps of hell were partying. He had to speak to himself as the devil thought he had the victory. He had to talk to himself and say, Jesus, come forward in my own name. I'm so glad that I can keep standing in the midst of all of what's going on, in the midst of all these gas prices and tornadoes and thunderstorms and earthquakes and floods and famines. I can keep standing. I can keep standing because at times I'm shocked and amazed. I can keep standing because at times I'm stunned and appalled by what I've seen. But I'm so glad that as I keep standing, God will supply for me abundantly in Jesus' name. And I've shared all this tonight just to simply let you know that Christians should keep standing in the ups and downs of life.
Hello again, this is Pastor Michael Eaton. I've been your host for today's program. And before we sign off, we just want to make sure that you have a personal relationship with God. You know, many people are waiting to have a personal relationship with God. They're waiting because they're trying to clean up their life or get right with God, to stop smoking or cursing before they come to the house of the Lord. And you know what I tell them? There's nothing that you can do or stop doing that would make you right for a relationship with God. The thing that you must do, however, is take God's provision. You see, in order to get right with God, you have to meet him on his terms, and his terms is Jesus Christ. The Bible said, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. And the Bible says that we have all sinned and come short of the glory of God. But the Bible also said that God demonstrated his love towards us, and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died. God's only Son, God's love, Christ died for us. So in order to get right with God, you have to accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. And you can do that today by praying this simple prayer. Dear God, I confess with my mouth the Lord Jesus, and I believe in my heart that Jesus died for my sins, was buried, and rose again on the third day. Dear God, come into my life, come into my heart as my Lord and Savior. Amen. And praise the Lord. If you prayed that prayer for the first time, then the angels in heaven are rejoicing, for now you are a child of the living King. Because you're a child of the living King, you have to find God's family, and that's what the church is. The church is God's family here on earth. We love and believe by faith that you've been born to the household of faith here at Bethlehem. Again, we're at 311 North Dunbar in Paul's Valley, Oklahoma, 55 miles south of Oklahoma City. We'd love to see you in our services. But if you're listening throughout the world, listening throughout the United States, Canada, United Kingdom, or even China, we're going to pray that God will deliver you to a Bible-believing, Bible-teaching, Bible-living church where you can grow up in the things of God. We want to thank you once again for listening. And again, if you prayed that prayer for the first time, you need to find a church home. A baby born needs to be a baby born in the family, because babies can't make it on their own. And if you prayed that prayer for the first time, you are a spiritual baby.
Thank you for
and you must find a church home. Again, we want to thank you for joining us today. And I'm going to give us a final benediction. A benediction is a final blessing. Father God, we thank you, Lord, and we pray in Jesus' name that you would bless everyone at the sound of my voice, especially the new children of God. Deliver them safely to a church home and put your hedge of protection around us all. Keep us safe from all harm and danger until we meet again, either here in Cyber Church or in the service. We thank you, Father God, in Jesus' name. Amen.
Hello again. This is Pastor Mike Wheaton, the senior pastor of the Bethlehem Baptist Church in Pauls Valley, Oklahoma. We want to take this opportunity to see if God used this message in your heart, if your life has changed, if God really spoke to you and touched your heart and changed the moment in your life. We just want to thank God for how he's working in your life, but we also want to take this opportunity to see if we can get you to sow a seed in the life of our church. Right now we're entering into a building program, and we've calling this program Vision to Reality. And this is phase one of our building program, and I've told many of our members, you know, I may not serve at a mega church, but I do serve a mega God. Not living in a mega city. This is Paul's Valley. But we serve a mega God because we're heard all over the United States and different countries and kingdoms. And we're believing that God owns the cattle on a thousand hills where you are. And if you take a moment and go to our church website at www.heargodsword@bethlehem.com, and you can hear it, tap the link on the MySpace page, or just go to the front page of our website at www.heargodsword@bethlehem.com and scroll to the bottom there. You'll see Vision to Reality, and that's where you can give to the building. And we want to do it kind of just like Obama did. And he raised his funds. It was just people, ordinary, everyday people, $25 that helped him to raise millions of dollars in a economy that people were saying that is depressed. I think that's God, and I believe God can do it for us, and we want you to give. Once again now, if God has touched and moved and worked in your life as a result of you listening to this ministry, we want you to give to Vision to Reality and help us to make our building here in Paul's Valley, state-of-the-arts build, a reality, because you've taken time to give $25, $50, $10, $100, and you may be able to do more. Whatever God is laying on your heart, we need you so we can build this vision to a reality. May God bless you and keep you is my prayer. Again, go to the website, www.heargodsword.com. Definitely.